Finally, Westminster. It's been 2 years since the United Kingdom voted to leave the European Union. However, with the deadline to leave just 9 months away, the British government is in crisis over how to separate from Brussels. And two resignations this week, they've only escalated tensions. Well, this week I caught up with John Howard at the Centre for Independent Studies. That's the Sydney think tank I head. And I asked the former Prime Minister, a close follower of British politics, whether the British people now have doubts about Brexit.
No, I don't. I don't think there's any doubt that they still want to leave the European Union. And I would suggest, based on polls that have been taken recently and just intuition, that if anything, they're angry that it has taken so long to get to the point of final departure.
Okay, but the conventional wisdom is that Theresa May made a spectacular miscalculation when she called an early election last year. Majorities dwindled dramatically. It's now a minority government. The conventional wisdom now, Westminster, is that she is probably on political life support. Whom do you think is likely to replace her?
Well, I don't think any alternative has emerged. And although she has lost an enormous amount of authority because she called an election to give herself a landslide win and didn't get it, and the most important commodity that any political leader has is authority. Authority is more important than popularity. And she has certainly lost an enormous amount of authority. However, don't underestimate the absolute distaste and hostility of the Ulster Unionists, who are providing her with a majority in the House of Commons towards Jeremy Corbyn. Jeremy Corbyn, of course, flirted with the IRA, and he has a long record of anti-Semitism. The level of anti-Semitism that he has embraced as something of a scandal in the British Labour Party, amongst its more sensible elements, and even with all the difficulties that Theresa May has, the most recent polls still put the Tories in a reasonably strong position. But time is running out. I'll be fascinated to see what the reaction of the European Union is to the Chequers deal.
This was mapped out last Friday.
Yep. Fundamental to what that deal represents is the rejection of free movement of people within the European Union. And I can't see how the European Union can agree to her Britain rejecting free movement of people.
Okay. So before we start talking about culture, I want to just ask you one other question about Westminster politics. The betting markets say that Boris Johnson would be the likely successor to Theresa May. And Max Hastings, who was Boris's former boss at the Daily Telegraph in Britain for the best part of a decade, he's taken to the London Times today and he says, quote, "Johnson's glittering intelligence is not matched by self-knowledge. He sees his place in the nation's history in Churchillian terms, whereas others, including most of the Parliamentary Conservative Party, would cast him as a Blackadder in a blonde wig." Max Hastings goes on to say, "Should he ever achieve his towering ambition to become Prime Minister, a signal would go forth to the world that Britain had abandoned any residual aspiration to be viewed as a serious nation." John Howard.
I don't want to draw comparisons, but I can remember language, or I've read about, I don't remember it, I've read about language of that type that was used about Winston Churchill by Tory grandees.
I just dismiss that.
Yeah. Max Hastings is a seriously good military historian and a very good writer, and I've read a lot of his books, and he's worth listening to. I don't think there is any plot afoot at the moment to remove Theresa May, but she did run a very bad election campaign. She dumped on top of many of her own strongest supporters an ill-thought-out retirement policy, and she is probably regarded as not a very good campaigner. But I don't think there's any consensus around an alternative at the present time. I think Johnson would be very popular in the Tory shires. He would be very popular amongst the rank and file of the
grassroots,
the conservative movement, but there would be doubts about his ability to lead the parliamentary party within the sections of the parliamentary party, and there would be implacable hostility to him amongst those who, in the conservative party, who wanted to remain in the European Union. And let me put it this way, speaking from some experience in these matters, when you have leadership changes, you've got to have them occurring in circumstances where they are broadly acceptable to the people who are going to be governed by the changes. And I think we've seen plenty of evidence in the past several years, in the past several decades, of that not being the case.
Well, that was John Howard at the Centre for Independent Studies this week. Now, my conversation with the former Prime Minister will air on RN's Big Ideas in coming weeks. Well, that's it for Between the Lines this week. Always great to have your company. Hope you can tune in again next week.